Second Chronicles chapter 29. We'll be in chapter 29 and chapter 30. And I hope that the Lord will just bless our hearts together tonight. Chapter 29 and verse 1, the Bible said, Hezekiah began to reign when he was 25 years old. I want you to think about this for just a minute tonight. I'm going to say a whole lot as we go through this, but you know, you don't have to be old to do something for God. Think about that. Hezekiah was 25 years old. And I want you to think about that the whole time that I'm going to show you tonight, how that God used Hezekiah in the lives of the people of Israel. And he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David, his father, had done. I'm going to read another passage over in the end of the chapter. But I'm going to just say something that the Lord just impressed my heart to say about this. When you're looking at the kings in the Word of God, every time there's a new king, the Lord will tell you something about that king. It'll either say that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, or he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. If we could all get a hold of that, if our politicians could get a hold of that, that it, what really matters is it right in the sight of the Lord? Wouldn't that straighten a whole lot out? Amen. Wouldn't that straighten a whole lot out? Or is it evil in the sight of the Lord? We find ourselves, I believe, in the days like in the days of Judges, where every man is doing that which is right in his own eyes. But that's not what's important tonight. You're not going to answer to me, and I'm not going to answer to you. But I tell you, we're going to answer to Him one day after a while. Amen. What's right in the eyes of the Lord. Now, if you'll turn over to the end of the chapter, verse 36, this is where the message is birthed in my heart tonight. And then I'll go back and explain. By the way, if you will, I'd like for you to just promise the Lord right now, if He'll give you strength and health, that you'll read chapter 29 and chapter 30 in its entirety. If you don't do it tonight, do it tomorrow. Sit down and just soak it up and glean and look at it, and God will bless you. The Bible said in verse 36, and Hezekiah rejoiced, and all the people, that God had prepared the people, watch this now, for the thing was done, what's that word?
Suddenly.
This thing was done. I'm going to preach out this chapter, but the Word of God said it was done suddenly. Suddenly. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we thank You tonight for the privilege to be in the house of God. God, I realize, Lord, tonight this might be the last time we ever meet on this side of eternity. Lord, everyone in this building that's born again, we'll meet again. I pray, Father, tonight that You'll bless this meeting. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that You'll, Lord, help that soul. Lord, as Brother Anthony said a while ago, Lord, there was a time when he came in lost, but he left saved. He came in a child of the devil, and he left the child of the King. Came in on his way to hell, and he left on his way to heaven. He came in with guilt and sorrow and a burden, and left out with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God, I pray tonight, Lord, God, that You'd help us tonight in this message. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that You would give me liberty, guide my lips, and guide my heart, and guide my mind this evening. Help me to say what needs to be said, and yet, Lord, leave off anything that would be displeasing in Thy sight. God, will give You glory in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. We were looking this morning at this little word, suddenly, and we talked about two areas of the message. We talked about, number one, sudden destruction, and then number two, sudden deliverance. We talked about that plane that went down this week. It was shot down. And we talked about how that those passengers were absolutely without warning. I'm telling you, 1 second they were breathing, and the next second, you understand, even if there wasn't a concussion of the blast, that when you let the pressure off of that cabin, you can't live in that. Amen? I'm telling you, nobody was on their way to the ground breathing. They were dead instantly. Instantly, either they were suddenly destroyed if they were lost without God, or they were suddenly delivered if they knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. And I thought about that, and God began to speak to my heart about this message. And I picked up on sudden destruction, and then I picked up on sudden deliverance. But there's something in between sudden destruction and sudden deliverance. And I want to preach about it a little while tonight. And that is sudden dedication. The Word of God is talking about a group of people here that for years have not been serving God. God has not been number one. They've been serving idols, and they've got groves, and they've went away from God. But I'm going to tell you what God did. God loved them so much, He sent them a leader. I say tonight, hallelujah, God, send us a leader. I say, God, send us a leader in America. I say, God, send us somebody that fears God. Send us somebody that knows how to talk to God. Send us somebody that's got a backbone like a saw log. Send us somebody. He might only be 25 years old, but God, send us somebody, because it begins with leadership. And Hezekiah was a great leader. God uses Hezekiah. You say, preacher, I thought this thing's gone. Well, listen, we don't believe that God's still on the throne. If we believe that, say amen. I'm telling you, there's enough of God's people in this country. I know that over 50% claim to be Christians, and I know that's probably nowhere close to right. Somebody say amen right there. But I'll tell you this much right now, there's enough of God's people in this country to keep the judgment hand of God off. Amen. I believe the rapture's going to take place, and He's going to take us out, and judgment will fall finally in this nation. But until then, there's hope. There's a remnant. God can give revival. God's people need to dedicate themselves to the cause of Christ. Let me show you some things here tonight in this chapter. I'm not going to go into all these statistics. I looked them up yesterday about how many claims to be Christians and Protestants and Catholics and all that stuff. I tell you what, there's enough born-again people in America to make a difference. Amen. I said there's enough born-again people in America to make a difference. Gideon started out with 30,000. God said too many. Whittled them down to 10,000. God said too many. Got down to 300. God said, now I can use them, and I'll get the glory. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, God wants to move in this country. God wants to move in our community. God wants to move in our county. But we can't have it unless we see a sudden dedication among God's people. The Bible said here, the thing was done suddenly. Hezekiah rejoiced, all the people that God had prepared, the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Let me give you some things out of this chapter tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. The Bible said here, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Let me give you some things tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I'm just going to skim through this, but let's begin reading here in verse number 3. The Bible said he, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He said, preacher, why did they need to be repaired? I tell you why. Because they weren't being used. Say amen right there. But I tell you what Hezekiah did in his first, he didn't wait till the second year. He didn't wait till the 10th year. He didn't wait till the 25th year. The first year, he said, if I'm going to do right in the sight of the Lord, then I'm going to have to do right by the house of God. I'm going to have to get the doors repaired. I'm going to have to get the doors open. I'm going to have to make sure that God's people have a way that they can come and worship Him. Watch this now. The Bible said this, and he brought in the priest and the Levites, and he gathered them together into the east street. And he said unto them, by the way, that's what a leader does. I'm so sick and tired of the division in this country. Would somebody say amen? Our leader will reach out yonder and get people and bring them together for a just cause. Amen. And I tell you, the division is pitiful in this country that we live in. Pitting the rich against the poor. I'm going to tell you something, without Jesus, we're all poor. Say amen right there. And with him. I said hallelujah with him. We're all rich. We're rich in him tonight. Watch this now. The Bible said, and he said unto them, hear me, Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your fathers. Watch this now. And carry forth the filthiness out of this holy place. I'm going to tell you right now, listen to me, if we see a sudden dedication, a sudden move of God, if we want God to come on the scene, Brother Joe, the filthiness has to be carried out. I'm telling you, Hezekiah said, let me fix the doors. Let the Levites get in there. Let the priests get in there. And let's carry out the garbage. Amen. Nobody likes to carry out the garbage, but there's some garbage in this country that needs to be carried out. If we're going to see a sudden move of God. Oh, friend of mine, tonight, there's a removal. You see it right there? See the removal? Watch this now. In verse number 5, the Bible said, our fathers have trespassed. Now, let me give you something tonight. Y'all stay with me tonight. Please don't get mad at me. But let me tell you something right now. Hezekiah is not blaming it on anybody. Amen. But he is acknowledging that our fathers have trespassed. They went away from God. He said, I'm the leader now. We're not going away from him anymore. We're going to him. We're going to fix the house of God. We're going to get back in there so God can move once again in our midst. And we can see, my friend, the move of God. There's a removal. You say, preacher, watch this. He said, our fathers have trespassed, done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord, our God. They have forsaken him. They have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord and turned their backs. They shut up the doors of the porch. They put out the lamps. They have not burned incense nor offered burnt offerings in the holy place unto the Lord God of Israel. Wherefore the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. Let me say this tonight. We can either see a sudden move of God, or we're fixing to get delivered up to some trouble too. God used ungodly nations and ungodly people to punish his children when they turned their back on him. Say amen. God came in, and my friend, he'll do the same again. He's no respecter of person. Watch the removal. Look at verse 15. Look, watch the removal now. There has to be a removal. And they gathered their brethren. They sanctified themselves. And they came according to the commandment of the king. Watch this now, by the words of the Lord. Watch this. It wasn't just a leader that was a leader because he had charisma. Say amen. Because he had something that was popular to say. He was a leader. The Bible said they done it because of the commandment of the king. But the next phrase said, that was by the word of the Lord. That's why Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I also am a follower of Christ. If I'm not following Christ, you hadn't ought to be following me. That God gave him a king. The word of the Lord meant something to him. The fear of the Lord meant something to him. We're going to find out after a while the worship of the Lord meant something to him. Watch this now. By the words of the Lord, watch this. He's brought them to cleanse the house of the Lord. How many remembers that scripture over in the New Testament? Judgment must begin at the house of God. I'm going to tell you something right now, friend. If we get serious about that, we can see a sudden move of God. I'm talking about from the pulpit to the pew. If we get serious about self-examination and say, oh my God, it ain't my brother, it ain't my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. It's me that's got some garbage to take out. It's me that needs help from above. Watch this now. And the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it. And they brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it to carry out abroad into the brook Kidron. In other words, they got it out. In
The Bible said now they began on the first day of the first month to sanctify. On the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the Lord. They sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. I'm telling you, they rolled up their sleeves and they got at it. They said, there's some things around here that needs to be removed. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's a whole lot of buildings in America that are declared to be churches. It ain't a bit more church than a man in the moon. Because, my friend, listen, I'm telling you right now, there's some things that need to be removed. A lot of them, it starts in the pulpit. God never did ordain a woman to preach, and He never will. God never did ordain a sodomite to preach, and He never will. He never will. It's an abomination in the sight of God. And I'm telling you right now, it must be cleaned up if we're going to see a sudden move of God. Watch this now. The Bible said in verse number 18, they went into Hezekiah the king, and they said, we have cleaned all the house of the Lord. And the altar of burnt offering with all the vessels thereof, the showbread table, all the vessels thereof. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression have we prepared and sanctified. And behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. There were some things that a previous king had thrown away that Hezekiah said, go get them, pick them up, clean them up. We can still use them for the glory of God. My friend, there was a move of God suddenly, there was a move of God. I don't know about you. Some of you all are a lot older than I am. And I just get tired of hearing about the move of God. I'd like to experience it one time, Brother Danny, before I go to heaven. I'm in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. Where it wouldn't matter who was preaching. It wouldn't matter, my friend, who was there, as long as He's there doing the work that needs to be done, that He might get the glory. There was a removal. The second thing I see here is there's a rehearsal. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, when you come down in verse number 6 through verse number 9, He's rehearsing what the children of Israel have been involved in days gone by. He's not blaming, but He is rehearsing. I'm going to tell you something right now. There was a day in America when we were a lot more dependent on God as a country than we are right now. When is somebody in leadership going to ask us to pray for our troops? When is somebody in leadership going to get up and maybe pray to the God of heaven? Oh, you say, preacher, that would spark too much controversy. It might spark a revival. We need the Lord. There's a rehearsal here. He said, our fathers have trespassed. They've done that which is evil in the eyes of the Lord. They have forsaken Him. They have turned away their faces from the habitation of the Lord. Let me say this to you tonight. Doesn't matter what your politics are or what they're not tonight. I will say this. In years gone by, either way, either side of the fence, many have forsaken the ways of the Lord. That doesn't mean it's hopeless. God sent them a leader. Hezekiah said, I'll tell you where we're going to start. Oh, wouldn't it have been something if Hezekiah said, well, we need to start up here at the palace. Hezekiah didn't say we need to start up here at the White House. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to start down there at God's house. We're going to repair the doors. We're going to carry out what needs to be carried out. We're going to carry in what needs to be carried in. We're going to cry out to the God of heaven and pray He'll show up in our midst. Amen. And when He does, suddenly there's going to be a move of God. Watch this with me tonight. You say, preacher, what happens when there's a removal and then when there's a rehearsal? I'll tell you what's going to happen. Look at verse 20. How many knows what's going to happen? Revival. Revival. Let me say this tonight. God just impressed me to say it. I didn't plan on saying it. But you know what we want? I didn't say you. I'm going to tell you what we want. We want revival without removal. Say amen right there. You call for a feast and you'll have a house full. You call for a fast and see how many you got. How many pray to the God of heaven? Amen. Pray for lost souls. Pray that God would shake our church, shake our community, shake our country for the glory of God Almighty. I'm telling you, my friend, we want revival, but we don't want a removal. We don't want to give up anything. Don't want to give up anything. I'm going to tell you what. It may not be happening in anybody else's life, but the older I get, the more I believe my Lord is requiring of me. The Word of God said, to whom much is given, much is required. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe with all my heart, there's enough people in this building tonight, on this hill tonight, to make a difference for the glory of God. If we just say, Lord, whatever it is you want out of my life, take it, Lord. It ain't worth coming between me and you, amen. It ain't worth the cost of revival. God, revive us. Watch this now. Let's go down through here for just a minute and see what we can find. Hezekiah the king, look at verse number 20. He rose early. We've been talking about that a little while, haven't we? He got up early. He gathered the rulers of the city and he went to the house of the Lord. Wow. And they brought 7 bullocks, 7 rams, 7 lambs, 7 he-goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, for Judah. He commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the altar of the Lord. They killed the bullocks. They brought forth the goats. Verse number 24, the priests killed them. They made reconciliation with their blood. There never has been any reconciliation apart from the blood. Here it's the blood of bulls and goats, and now it's the blood of the darling Son of God. But there'll never be revival without getting back to the blood. Bought us and paid for us. You say, preacher, what's going to happen in this revival? I want you to see 2 things quickly, and then we're going to move on. We got to get over into chapter 30 tonight. Amen. Don't get scared. Amen. It'll be all right. I got further to drive than anybody tonight. Amen. Let's go with it. Look at it. Revival. The Bible said here in verse number 25, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, harps, according to the commandment of David and of Gad, the king's seer, Nathan the prophet. For so it was commanded of the Lord by his prophets. And the Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began also. Well, glory to God. I tell you what, when revival comes, somebody's going to be singing. Amen. Somebody's going to be praising the Lord. The Bible said this: the song of the Lord began also with the trumpets, with the instruments ordained by the king of Israel. You say, preacher, when there's real revival, what are you going to have? I'm going to show you in this order. It's in this order. It's in the right order. Number one, you're going to have worshipers. Worshipers. Watch what the Bible said in verse 28. And all the congregation worshiped, and the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. Verse 29, and when they had made an end of offering, the king and all that were present with him bowed themselves and worshiped. Hey, the offering was over, but the worship wasn't over. They just kept on worshiping God. Watch what the Bible said here. Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praise unto David with the words of David and of Asaph the seer. And they sang praises because they had to. That ain't what it said, is it? It said they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. 3 verses, 3 times. They keep coming back to the same thing. Worship, worship, worship. When revival comes, there'll be worship. Worship is saying, God, you're worthy. You're worthy. You're worth it. You're worth my life. You're worth my praise. You're worth my song. You're worth my time. You're worth everything that I am. You're worth everything that I ever will be. You're worth everything that I have. God, you're worthy. I've been criticized in days gone by, not since I've been here. But I've been criticized. I actually had preachers come in to where I pastor, and they'll say, preacher, you belong on that platform. People need to know you're the leader. You might say, well, preacher, why do you sit down here? I'll tell you why. Y'all ready? Because every once in a while, God gets a hold of somebody's heart in that choir. and they begin to worship. And brother, when they do, I don't want to have my back to them. Amen. I tell you, my friend, it's just like saying sick them to a hound dog. I like to see the tears. I like to see the rejoicing. I like to see a heart that's full of worship. Revival. 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 There's a removal and there's a rehearsal. We're getting in good shape to have a revival. I'm going to make a statement. Don't get mad at me. But the average quote-unquote revival is just another series of meetings. Am I right or am I wrong? But I'm going to tell you what. Suddenly, this wasn't just another series of meetings. Amen. Suddenly, Hezekiah lets us know something was happening. Watch this now. This is just as important. Many people would put this first, but God's got the order right. Worshippers first. Look at verse 34. But the priests were too few, so that they could not flay all the burnt offerings. Watch this now. They had so much sacrifice coming into the house of God that the priests couldn't get the job done. You know what they needed? Help. And I'm going to tell you, when real revival comes, not only is there going to be worshipers, but there's going to be workers. There's going to be somebody to do the work that needs to be done. Watch this now. The Bible said the Levites did help him. Their brethren, the Levites, did help him till the work was ended, until the other priests had sanctified themselves. For the Levites were more upright in heart to sanctify themselves than the priests. And also the burnt offerings went in abundance with the fat of the peace offerings, the drink offerings, every burnt offering. So the service of the house of the Lord was set in order. And Hezekiah rejoiced in all the people that God had prepared the people, for the thing was done suddenly. Sudden destruction, you better believe it. Sudden deliverance, you better believe it. Sudden dedication, I'd love to live to see it. A real move of God where this is more than a verse of Scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. The Bible's telling us, my friend, in this day and hour that we live in, there's hope. There's a remnant of God's people in this country. There's a remnant scattered out around the globe. And I tell you, if that remnant was to get real good and serious with God and dedicate themselves to the Lord, I believe with all of my heart we could see a mighty move of God once again. Mighty, mighty. Watch this now. Let me give you some things real quickly. Number one, there's preparation. This dedication requires preparation. The Bible said God had prepared the people. God had prepared the people. Now, wait a minute. It might cause us to look at the current events differently if we would look at it like this. Could it be that God is preparing a people that's about to get sick and tired and fed up to hear with people spitting in the face of our God, spitting on our Bible? Are you listening to me? And my friend, saying that what is right is wrong, and saying what is wrong is right? I don't know about you, but I've had that all I can swallow. Amen. God wants us to dedicate. Preparation. Secondly, there's a pattern. Look in verse number 5 of chapter 30. The Bible said that they should keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem, for they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written. In other words, they got back. They went back to the ways of God in the Passover and began to observe the Passover the way that God had told them to. And somebody had dropped the ball. Let me tell you something, in this country, the ball has been dropped. But that does not mean the ball cannot be picked up again. That does not mean that God can't send us a leader, my friend, that can help us to pick up the ball and run with it for the glory of God Almighty. I see preparation. I see a pattern. Let's go down here. Look in verse number 8. Let me see if I can find this in my notes from this morning. There's a verse here. Proverbs 29:1. You remember? Remember what it said? He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. Remember that? Watch this now. Suddenly. Look at verse 8. Hezekiah said, now, be ye not stiff-necked. The stiff-necked are never going to experience revival, as your fathers were. But yield yourselves unto the Lord. Enter into the sanctuary which he has sanctified forever. And serve the Lord your God. And the fierceness of his wrath may turn away from you. I'm going to tell you something tonight. There's a pattern. But then in verse number 9, there's a promise. He said, if you turn again to the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. He will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him. God said, if you're going to dedicate yourself, it takes preparation. It takes a pattern. But right here, we see that God is telling us it involves a promise. God has promised. Will we take him at his word? Look in verse number 12. It takes people. And also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord. You want to know how to pray for Bible Way? Pray, God, give us one heart. Say amen. Amen. God, give us one heart. Help us, Lord, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God, help us that we might see you move in our midst. Watch this. It takes people. Watch this place. Look in verse number 16. And they stood in their place after their manner. I'm going to tell you something right now. Everybody listen to me. God's got a place for every one of his children. You say, preacher, when are we going to see a mighty move of God? I'll tell you when. When we all get in our place. A lot of God's youngins are out of place. When we get out of place, you just well hang a sign up on our chest like they do the restroom that says, out of order. God has a place for us. Amen? I don't know the place for you, but I know the place for me. And you know the place for you. Amen. And God wants us to be in our place. And God don't want us to sit in our place. He wants us to stand. They stood in their place. If we see a place, we can have dedication. Watch this. I want you to see something right here. There's somebody here doing something wrong. Wrong. In the middle of this move of God. They're doing something wrong. Watch it with me. This will speak to your heart, did to mine. The Bible said, verse 18, the multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves. Whoa. Yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it was written. Boy, there's a lot of people. Amen, Brother Grizzle. They always want to go by the letter, by the letter, by the letter. Here's a good example. I didn't even know it was in the Word of God. Paul writes to us over there. He said, you better be careful by the letter, by the letter, by the letter. And you better make sure you're in the right spirit. Watch this. The Bible said here, they hadn't cleansed themselves. They ate the Passover otherwise than it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them. Oh, hallelujah. And the Word of God said, he said, the good Lord pardon. I love this. He said, everyone. He said, I want God to pardon every one of you. You know what I believe he's saying? Maybe you didn't do it just right. But I'm looking at your heart. And your heart's in it. Amen. Maybe we didn't get it just right by the letter. But hallelujah, by the Spirit of God, we can receive that pardon anyway in the middle of it all. Watch this. There's a pardon. And the Bible said, look at verse 20. Just in case you're wondering how God stands on this. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah, and he healed the people. Hallelujah. Oh boy, wouldn't it be good to have a leader that God was listening to? The Lord hearkened to Hezekiah. A couple more things and I'm done. Look over here in verse number 21. the children of Israel that were present in Jerusalem. When there's dedication, what I'm trying to tell you is, it takes preparation, it takes a pattern, it takes a promise, it takes people being in the right place, it takes a pardon, because we don't all always get it right. Can I get some help from the congregation? Amen. The Bible said, and the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem, they kept the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day. When there's dedication, what are you going to have, preacher? You're going to have praise. They're singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. Look at verse 22. What are you going to have, preacher, with dedication? You're going to have peace. The Bible said Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers. I like that. Listen to me carefully right here. Looks to me like if ever there was a time, Brother Jeff, when somebody ought to be confessing to a man, they maybe should have been confessing to Hezekiah. Oh no, they were confessing to the Lord God of their fathers. Amen. I believe Hezekiah would have straightened him out on that, don't you? He would have said, I'm not the one you need to be talking to. The one you need to be talking to is in glory. He's the one that can forgive. Now watch this tonight. I'm coming to a close. The whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days. They kept other 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, the king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep. The princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that come out of Israel. Now watch this. Watch this. So far, all we've talked about is the Jew, God's people. God's people, but I want you to see what real revival looks like. Look at it here in this verse. The Word of God said, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel and that dwell in Judah rejoiced. Right there's the whole purpose of revival. Amen. That some stranger might get in on it. Amen. That somebody that does not know God might come to know Him. As God's people rejoice, the whole purpose. The Bible said, verse 26, so there was great joy in Jerusalem. Let me tell you something right now. We can let today's message go in one ear and go out the other. But if we'll take it to heart, you know what we're going to see around here before long, Sister Rachel? We're going to see an answer to some of them their prayers. Amen. We're going to see some great joy on this hill. Amen. And that's what we need. Amen. We need to see God move in our midst. We need to see God move in our homes. We need to see God move in our schools. We need to see God move in this county that we live in. We might just see Him move in this country if we'll just be patient and serve Him. The Bible said there was great joy. Watch this now. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel, there was not the like in Jerusalem. Then several generations went by without seeing a real move of God. But I don't make me want to lay this thing down and give up. If we'll dedicate ourselves, could just be, Brother Randy, that one day, suddenly, our Lord would show up, get more done in 5 minutes than we could get done in 50 years. Somebody help me tonight, amen. And that's what we need. Sudden dedication among God's people brought about a sudden move of God. Hezekiah, he had sense enough to know, Brother Fred, he couldn't do it alone. He needed the people of God. Boy, my mind goes back to that night out there on the parking lot. Over and over and over. How that the shepherd needs the sheep. how we need one another if we're going to see God accomplish His purpose in our midst. What a Savior we have tonight. I don't know about you tonight, but in between sudden destruction for the lost and sudden deliverance for the saved, I found a sudden dedication to the Word of God, to the things of God. Didn't start at the White House, and it won't this time either. Somebody help me. But a real revival break out. I'm going to tell you something right now. Let me just go ahead and say it like this. The White House won't stop it. I used to tell the men in prison, they've not built a fence high enough or thick enough. Some of y'all maybe don't know what I'm about to say, but with enough juice on it, y'all know what juice is? I ain't talking about orange juice and grapefruit juice, amen, electricity. Never build a fence high enough, thick enough, with enough juice on it to contain the God that I serve. They said, preacher, we're locked up in here. What can we do? I said, well, prayers go over the fence. Prayers go through the fence. And your testimony can reach somebody way out yonder. Amen. I believe tonight God wants us to have. I want to hang around till He does it. How many's with me? Sometimes we give up on the brink of a miracle. I want to see God do it. I want to see God save my loved ones. I want to live to see God save my grandchildren. Amen. Some people have to see it from the other side. But if I could get to see it from this side, I sure would enjoy it. I want to see God move in our church. Move on this hill. I'm going to tell you what. I don't have Him in my pocket. But I have Him in my heart. And I believe with all of my heart. We that have Him in our hearts need to get serious about dedicating. Take some inventory of our time. Take some inventory of our talents. Take some inventory and just see what we're doing for the kingdom of God. I'm going to say this. I don't know who's doing the most, but whoever that is can do a little more. All of us can do a little more. All of us can be a little more like Jesus. Would somebody help me? I want to know more about my Lord, my blessed Lord. Paul had already written letter after letter after letter. He comes over in the book of Philippians, the church at Philippi. He says that I may know Him. He said, I'm not there yet. I want to know Him in a greater way. I want to know Him in a more intimate way. God, help us tonight to know Him. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for Your people that have come this way. God, tonight I know with all of my heart, Lord, there's hope. God, suddenly, You came on the scene. Lord, the people, they needed a leader. And God, You sent them a leader. You sent them a man. Lord, the Bible said he was like David. You sent them another man, Lord, that had a heart for God. God, I can only imagine the joy. I can only imagine the singing, the instruments that were played. I can only imagine, Lord, as the people that had not cleansed themselves, partook in the Passover, and wondered, would they be punished? Only to meet a man that pardoned them. And God agreed with him, heard his prayer. Father, tonight, I pray if there's anything in my life, and there is, God, that You'll give me grace for the removal. God, I pray, Lord, tonight as we rehearse the goodness of God, as we rehearse the wickedness of our country. God, that you might bring us to a place of complete and total dedication, that we might see a revival. A revival. God, you can do it. You're not limited. Do it again, Lord. Do it again. Do it in such a way, Lord, that no church would get any credit. No preacher would get any credit. God, do it in such a way, Lord, that you'd get all the credit, all the glory.